beloved and holy and only child of the one source, child of light divine. That is who you are. Take it deeply within the consciousness and contemplate what that means. Child of light, radiant, divine, from before time began. I am the one known as Jeshua ben Joseph. Jesus, you have called me, and it is in great joy that I come to abide with you this evening in your timing, as you have chosen to call me forth. Great joy, beloved ones, always great joy to be amongst you in this way.
I pulled my feet.
Yes, you have. You know what I am thinking.
Yes.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
We will give you what is called the hot foot.
Yeah, that's true. Thanks.
Always great joy and laughter. Laughter that bubbles up from the spirit of you, the heart of you, that comes forth because you cannot hold it back. You would not hold it back. It is very much the essence of you, laughter, joy, great familiarity of equality of divinity. And that is why you have come to be in this place. We'll give you a hot foot as well. See?
Oh.
Uh-oh. You feel? Yes. And to speak to this one, welcome also. Very good to see and to feel the essence of you. But yes, there has been a joke earlier in this week about the hot foot, as I would share the foot touch with ones, especially the Don Juan over here. Oh, pardon, Don Jose. Don Jose.
That's a sunburn.
Again, the laughter that comes forth from the depth of your being that says, this is who I am. I love to laugh. And you do. Oftentimes the world will speak to you of heaviness and all of the things you have to do or that you should do. Places you have to be at a certain time. Aha, another hot foot. Oh, you definitely have the hot foot. Very alive, hot foot. But the world will say that you have to be serious and that you have to approach everything in studied measure, not missing anything. But I say unto you, you are the maker of the world. You are the creator of what you see in your world. And you can create it however you want it to be, change it on a dime or even less, on a penny. And something as simple as that, to bring forth the laughter, makes everything rearrange itself and change. You have heard the stories of ones who have been told by your medical experts that they only had a short time to keep on activating the body. And then they have started watching the humorous videos, movies perhaps, and the joyfulness and releasement of seriousness has brought forth the healing, and it has been seen as a miracle, but yet it is the truth of your being, to be in joy, to be happy. That is your true nature. The heaviness of the world is to be overcome, to be negated, to say that it is a no thing. For truly it is a no thing. And the joy that you feel, the laughter that you feel, if you are ever feeling really, really down, if you have any part of the body that is screaming at you, put on one of your funny, humorous videos and watch it. Lose yourself in it. Find yourself laughing at the silliest whatever. And at first you think, oh, I can't do that. This is really serious what I'm going through. And I can't do that. But if you will stick with it even for what you call your 10, 15 minutes, there'll be something in it that will trigger a bit of laughter. And when that laughter is triggered, there are, your scientists have already told you, the endorphins that are released within the body that begin the healing process. And yes, it may be small at first. You say, well, that little bit can't do very much. But as you will repeat that and you will live in the place of knowing freedom, let me say unto you something that I want you to take it to heart, even to the physical heart. You are not going to live with a physical body forever. This physical body is going to serve you for a while, and then you are going to release it. As we have said in earlier times, there are ones who are going to resurrect a body, but it will not be the same body. Close, but not the same, because you will have been changed in the process of it. But all of you, accept the fact, accept it. A-C-C-E-P-T, accept it, not the E-X. That at some point you're going to say, okay, finished with this body. So, okay, that's a given. So why spend time worrying about it? Live in the moment. Live with the funny videos that are completely crazy. But the knowing that truly this body is not going to serve you except until you release it, and you will release it at some point, is very freeing. Okay, it's a given. At some point, the body is, I'm going to let it go. So while I have, and I'm working with this body, why not laugh? Why not feel good in it? Why not allow it to rest when it needs to rest? Know that truly you will do what you need to do to keep it nourished, activated, but live in the space of joy. Sometimes, yes, sometimes ones have said that truly, I do not speak of serious matters, that I do not speak of deep, deep matters. And I don't. I speak of light matters. The light that you are. The joyfulness of the child that you are. Allow yourself to feel free. You are welcome. To feel free because you are free. To feel happy. To enjoy the sunshine. To enjoy the heavy dew that comes upon you. To enjoy all of the little funny bits that perhaps you may see the humor in it, and somebody else will wonder, what is he laughing at? What is she laughing at? And yet there will come within you a funny little knowing of something, a quirk. You can call it a quirk. And you laugh because it just feels good to laugh. You have what you have experienced perhaps in other groups, the laughter workshops, the laughter yoga, as it has been called, where all you do is laugh. Now, why, the serious ones ask, would you pay good golden coins to go and just laugh? Because it feels good. Because it is healing. Because no matter what you are going through, there is always the silver lining to any cloud that seems to be upon your horizon or even closer. To find that silver lining and to laugh through it. To even yawn, the biggest yawn that you can do, and to find great freedom in the yawn. It is good to be natural. The natural child of you is happy. The natural child of you does not worry about the morrow, does not worry about the body, does not worry about the golden coins. The natural child of you says, what is that for? I see colors. I see form. What is that all about? Always the questions and then the joy of discovery. And you have seen the little ones as they have discovered something and how happy they are because there is something new in their world and they get excited about it and you get excited about it because you see their joy. That is one of the reasons that you bring the small ones into your world. Yes, I know there is then the responsibility of the world, but truly you invite the small ones to be with you so that you can look through their eyes and discover a new world that you have maybe forgotten for a short time, so that you want to experience something new. And when you have the new small ones adventuring, you are able to step into their shoes figuratively and look through their eyes and experience the world in a new way. So allow yourself to do the simplest of things. The teachings, quote unquote, that I give to you are truly only reminders of what you already know, just to remind you of the simplicity of the yawn. You are most wonderful. We'll have you do a demonstration, and everyone will be in that free place of the yawn. It is fine. It is no judgment. I know that when ones will feel free enough to yawn, they are feeling relaxed, and the mind is not overworking. So yawns are good. I take no judgment from seeing yawns. I feel that it is actually a very healing place to be, allowing the body to relax to the place of the yawn. Now, many of you in this day experienced the waterfall, yes? And many of you felt the energy of the flowing water that I have spoken to you many times about, the energy of flowing water. You have some out of doors here where there is flowing water. I ask that there be a water feature in the home for these ones, and it has been provided. And you have the flowing water. There is energy in flowing water. There is very healing energy in flowing water. And as you watched the power of the water that did not hold itself back, each drop of that water did not say, "Oh, I'm not going over the edge. I won't go over the edge." Each drop of water allowed itself to flow freely, powerfully, with no resistance. No thought that, "Oh my goodness, I'm going to crash at the bottom." No feeling of that, but just a feeling of being in the flow of energy. And as you stood there and you could be one with the waterfall, you could feel that energy cascading. You could feel your own energy flowing, freely flowing. Most wonderful yawn. You could feel the energy of the water, which is truly your creation. Because as we have spoken many times, everything you behold is your creation. Everyone who comes into interaction with you is there by invitation. Even the ones who will push your buttons and seem to be so mean and disregarding, you have asked them to do what we spoke of last evening as the sandpapering, to polish you to the place where you know how beautiful you are. And so you have asked them. And some of the most rough ones are doing the most wonderful sandpapering of pushing you to the place where you have to say, "What is the truth of my being? Wow, I'm really getting polished in this job that I'm working at. There is so much sandpapering going on here." And you become a more polished person, not as the world defines polish, but as the spiritual being that you are. So it is all a gift that truly you invite, even though you say, "I didn't invite this. How could I ever invite this stress," as it is called? But you do. You invite it in order to know your power, to know that you can stay with it, and you can also walk away from it. And that which you feel you need will be provided for you, is being provided for you, even as you think about perhaps moving into something else. Already the pathway for all of you is being illuminated. Why? Because you are bringing your light to it. And what I want you to do is to accept in awareness how powerful you are as the light that illumines your pathway. And know and give thanks for the ones who are in your immediate circle, who are doing the sandpapering, and to thank them. You can say it in words if you want to. You can go right up to them and say, thank you for the gift that you are giving me. And they'll say, what the H are you talking about? And yet I will say unto you that if you say that to them, it will get them to thinking, well, she's certainly got a different way of looking at things. And they may or may not agree with it in this lifetime. And it is not your job to convince them. That takes a load off the shoulders. Whew. Right. That takes a load off. And you can allow them to be as they see themselves and as you perceive them to be, with no judgment. And just to enjoy them. Because truly you bring them into your awareness for joy. Now, I know that the separated ego says, oh, joy, what joy? Oh. But there is joy in it. As you will look a little farther with it, and especially when you get past it, you'll look back on it and you'll say, hey, I see the gift in that now. And you can do that now. You can look back on experiences that you've had in this lifetime where you thought it was really muck and mire. And you thought maybe you'd never get through it. And you didn't see any way out of it that seemed to be a win-win or even a win. But you got through it. And you got to the place where you knew your power of choice, the power of choice. And you knew your power. So you went on to the next adventure. And sometimes it was what you wanted, you thought. And sometimes it wasn't what you thought you wanted. And yet, at the soul level, it is what you have called forth. Everything is at the soul level in your invitation to bring you up to the awareness of divinity, equality. May I borrow the chapeau? Thank you. Le chapeau. To show you the equality. Now, you see, there is equality. I am equal with all of you. Not above you, not never below you. Although that could be done as well. There have been times when I would lay myself down and let you put your feet upon me so that you would feel the hot foot. It could be done. And can be, has been done. I make jokes with you, which makes you think sometimes that I am not speaking very deep things. But I will say unto you that the deepest of spiritual realization comes when you are thinking about something else. It sneaks in underneath. And sometimes you will say, well, just because he takes someone else's chapeau and puts it on his head and breaks the mold of having you think that he is a great master. What's the point in all of that? Well, I will leave that question up to you. The point, dear ones, thank you, is equality. The Christ of you and the Christ of me is one. One Christ. Although there are the individual bodies. Again, you are the one expressing as the many. Take that deeply within the consciousness and understand that you are the one. Come forth from the one mind, the one principle of being. To express as the many, we spoke of this in other times as the facets on the gemstone. My beloved friend and teacher has thought that perhaps the gemstone is not very big. It is big enough to show you the facets on it. All of you are the facets that reflect the light from within. All of you are, in your own individuality, different facets of the one diamond, one gemstone. You probably haven't thought of it that way, but it is the truth of your being. You're all connected at the divine level as the one. Take that deeply within the consciousness. Allow yourself again to feel loved, so loved, because you are. So loved that there is absolutely nothing that can disturb you, the true being of you. There is absolutely nothing, no thing, that can hold back your awareness of your divinity, except your own temporary choice to say, not yet, perhaps not yet. But that's temporary. That's of the world, it is temporal. And in time, it will come to you that I am that which I am, divine from before the creation of time and beyond the purpose of time, forever and forever. So be it. All of you, hear me well. I love that which you are. I love being amongst you. I love being able to reach out and to touch and to look at the hieroglyphics that you make upon the page. Most beautiful. I love that which you are, that reflects the light that you are, the love light of the eyes, and how you look out in love, how you serve the other ones. Each and every one of you in your ways, you have developed in the years that you have garnered to yourself various, I will call them techniques, modalities, of being able to approach ones and say, I have a gift that I want to share with you, a gift of healing, because every gift that you give is a gift of healing. No matter how it seems to be, it is a gift of healing because it is a gift of love.
What a hot shoulder.
Oh, yes, we can do a hot shoulder, of course. Easy to do. Most beautiful one. Know you how beautiful you are. Know you the love that shines forth, that is so freely given to other ones as you smile, as you are in love with them. Not the world love, but the true love of being. And they feel it. When you smile at them, when you are realizing the Christ of them, they feel that there is part of them then is lifted up, that is lifted up, because you know their true being. And they feel that at some level. Sometimes it may be deeply buried, but they feel it. And it is a gift that you give to them. Most beautiful one. Yes. Wonderful. And the hot shoulder
like
is
jokes.
much better than the cold shoulder.
Yes.
You are one that does not give the cold shoulder. You are one who reaches out in love, who reaches out to ones and wants to allow them to know that you appreciate them, that you understand that they are going through world challenges, but that truly who and what they are is the Christ divine, who has come to experience the world and yet knows her divinity, knows truly that all is whole, and knows that the most important thing that she can give to anyone and to herself is the understanding of true divine love. Love of self, the true self that you are. You have given throughout your lifetime, this lifetime, much of love to ones you have tended. And it has been easy for you to do because you have a heart, a pure heart of love. And you are giving it always out to other ones. But I say unto you now, be aware of your own love. Feel your own love, turning it back to yourself, knowing that it heals every portion of the body, every muscle, every cell, every portion of the body, because you are saying, I love you. You serve me well. I love you because we work together. I love you because we have agreed that we will serve others, and in serving others, we will come to the place of knowing true love of self. You are greatly, greatly loved, more than you can imagine. All of you are greatly, greatly loved, beyond the measure of the world, beyond any measure. You are the work of the divine creator. Now, if you are the work of the divine creator, why would you negate that and say that you are not worth anything, that you perhaps are lacking in any way? If, and I truly, you are the work of the divine creator, he, she does not make junk. He, she makes beautiful creations that work well and serve well in every moment. You can release old beliefs about self. You can release all of that old that has been because it no longer is here in the now. It is not here. It is over and done with. It is complete. You have suffered enough. The same as once have said of me that I suffered on the cross. It is over and done with. And it no longer is with you. You no longer need it. You are free. You are so loved that there is nothing but love in you, in all of the cells of your body. There is nothing but love. Free, expansive love, regenerating itself as we speak. Regenerating in wholeness and in wholesomeness. Because you are divine, you are whole, and you are holy. The holy self of you now shines forth. The holy self of you now is at work and at play within the body. And you are free, free of the past. It has no hold over you any longer. It is gone. The past has been heavy. The past has been challenging. But it is done. You have overcome the past because you say now, I am done with you. I am complete with it. I need it no longer to walk with me. I've been there, done that. And it is my history. Finished. Complete. Free. Flexible. Powerful, wonderful, a work of wonder. That is what you are, a work of wonder. Every cell of the body is regenerating itself in love. Give yourself over to it, because the past no longer exists. From this moment on, you are free. You are healed. you are whole. The old no longer has hold over you. No longer. Most beautiful one, the creation of the divine one, that is what you are. And as I have said, the divine one does not create imperfection. The divine one only creates perfection. And you are perfect. I know that which you are, and I love that which you are. Very good. Let it come. It is okay. You have been through a lot recently, and you have done very well with it. It has been difficult, but it has brought forth the power of you, the power that says, I am good. I am made of good stuff. And I know your worth. I know what you are made of. I know the power of you, and I rejoice in it. Because I know how strong you are. I also know your future. And your future is bright. Your future is a wonder. You are going to be very happy in what you see your future to be. Right now you cannot quite see it. It looks like, oh, you know, can't see. But I can see it. And if you will take it from me, it is a very bright future, and you will be happy in it, and you will be in a marvel of how it could be so good. Know you why? Because again, the Divine One only creates that which is perfect. The Divine One only creates that which is perfect. The hot shoulder. Do you know what it comes from? It comes from the hot heart. Mm-hmm. The warm heart that beats for all. Sometimes ones carry, and I'm speaking to all of you, stress in the body because you feel that you have to be a certain way. But in truth, you do not have to be according to the world, just to be yourself, your own divine self, because you are perfect, just as you are, perfection, right now, here and now, perfection. You see, for so long, generations have taught you that you have to be a certain way, to be accepted, to be loved, to be liked. If you weren't a certain way, you were asked to release the body, or you were left out of the tribe. There was judgment. All of you have lived with the fear of judgment. And at the same time, you have judged others because you felt that was the way it had to be. But now you're moving into a place where you are accepting and allowing everyone else. But when it comes to yourself, I should try harder. You do not need to try harder. You are perfection, just as you are. Just as you look out with the eyes of love, that is perfection. Beautiful, beautiful eyes. Love in those eyes. The innocence that has sometimes been forgotten, but the innocence of the Christ child, that is what I see. And that is what I celebrate. And that is why I make the jokes and the laughter, to allow that innocence to come forth and to laugh as the small child and to say, I do not have to be a certain way. I can be myself. I can be joyful, to sit back and say, hey, this is me in all my splendor. And that is you in all of your splendor. To be able to laugh, the freedom of laughter. That is what we will term this evening's message to be. The freedom of laughter and connecting with the divine self. But you know what? You don't need a title for this evening. All you are requesting to have is the yawn that says, I am relaxed, I am happy, I am being myself in all of its divine expression, even down to the crazy little toe that may have a corn on it. Yes, imagine that. You see, do you feel the laughter, the change that has happened? When you can imagine that Jeshua is allowing a body to walk around that has a corn on the toe. The simplicity of it. Who cares? It is no biggie. It is the perfection of the Christ child expressing in a myriad of different ways and being happy and okay about it. Now, my beloved friend and teacher may speak to me afterwards and she will say, why did you have to point out that there is a corn on the toe? She and I work well together, and she is okay with that. It has brought forth the laughter, the smiles on the face. A silly little thing, but a thing of beauty. Now, I would suggest the bodies are a bit tired from all you have been doing in this day. You've been sitting on the chair now for a good, perhaps hour even, 45 minutes. Take a short break. Exercise the bodies. Go out of doors. Revel in the light that is here even in your evening time. Breathe of the freshness of the air. And in what you see to be 15 minutes or so, we will resume. So be it. All of you in the first portion of this evening have received a healing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. As it was done unto one, it is done unto all. Some of you have been asking for healing of body. Some of you have been asking for healing of relationships. Some of you have been asking for healing of employment. Some of you have been asking for healing in your own self-image of what you could do and how you could do it. And there has been healing for each and every one of you. For as it was done unto one, it is done unto all. Yes. That which you have truly desired has been given unto you. Now, it is your job, your responsibility, to accept it. But it has been given. I will be with you this evening in your dream time. I will be encouraging that you feel the energy of healing and that there be shift in the consciousness for anything that you are working on. I will be with you as you allow the body to be at rest and the mind that is so busy to be at rest and the spirit soul of you is where I will be working. It will be powerful. And you will awaken in the morning. And you will feel different. In a way, perhaps very slight. In another way, perhaps as a miracle has happened. It will be done unto you according to your belief and according to what you perceive as your need. But it has already been sent out. And as I have said, I will be working with you during your dream time. Not only I, but the one who travels with me, the one you know as my mother, Mary. I have joked many times, how would it feel to travel everywhere and have your mother with you all the time? She is a most wonderful companion. Once have asked of me, well, why is it that your mother is close to you and travels with you, and it is not your mate, Mary of Magdala? Now, Mary of Magdala does travel with me everywhere. There is no place that I can be that she is not. She is always with me and in love with me as I with her. But the one you as a group have called as a resonance has been my mother, Mary. I would digress just for a half a moment to explain about why there are so many Marys and Marie in certain writings. It is because it is from ancient wording of royalty. Mary, of the royalty. And it was chosen for many, and many took this upon themselves as their name, if it was not given at the birth time, as a knowing of the holiness of reality and the holiness, that was capital R, of the royalty as well. So Marie goes back to of royalty. Marie. So there are many Marys in your Holy Scriptures, and many Marys that have been and do travel with me everywhere. And on the morrow, in the evening, my mother will speak with you. She is already very anxious to speak with you, very happy to speak with you. The energy of love that she feels for all of you as her children, and truly all of you have been her children in what you would see biological time over many, many years. And she feels a special resonance with all of you and with many who are not in this group, many more, of course, because, as I have spoken, she also traveled with us into France and throughout many of the lands where we did travel. Her home base was in the area of what you now call Israel. But she knew, because of the Essene teaching, she knew because of what we shared, she and I, that she could manifest a body anywhere she wanted to, which is what you are approaching. You are approaching a time when you will be able to manifest a body anywhere you want to. And you can have what you see as a body in one place, where ones will see the body and interact with the body, and yet you will have a body, physical, that can be touched, can be hugged, etc., in another space. That is why I suggested unto you the exercise of seeing yourself on top of the mountain ridges, looking back at yourself sitting on the wall. That is why I suggested that you see yourself on top of the mountain around the lake, looking back at yourself, looking at the lake, looking at the mountains around the lake, and seeing yourself on the bottom of the lake, and yet seeing yourself looking up from the bottom of the very deep water to yourself sitting on the pier. Because truly, you are approaching the unlimitedness of knowing and the belief system that you are not tied to any physical place. So my mother knew this, and she visited often because she loved the grandchildren, all of the grandchildren, the ones that you would call biological and the other ones that we took in under our wings, Mary of Magdala and I, great love. And my mother, Mary, knew, as we knew, no limitation of physicality. Now, I know you have been molded by the world and molded by belief system that the body is solid and that you cannot take it anywhere except through effort of will, very physical effort of will, even through the security systems at your airport. That is what was bringing the smile to my face. When you have mastered the unlimitedness of knowing you can manifest the body, yes, anywhere you want to be, you will no longer have to go through security at the airports. Twice, yes. As you change planes and airports, I know, it is just a bit of a trek. And a bit of the, yes, exactly, it is getting to the point where they are wanting you to take off the raiment and the shoes and down to whatever. But that is okay. And they take the pictures that can see through the raiment. But all of you are light beings, and all of you project. This is also a bit of a humorous point. It is not a joke, but a humorous point, that all of you are such light beings that sometimes you have messed up their machinery, and they've had to ask you to go through again. Yes, that is why they have asked you to go through again. It is because the picture they were taking was not as clear, and there was some light spots, or the orbs that we have talked about, that they didn't quite understand. So they said, come back and go through it again. And the pat down, yes, to see what there would be. And you are such light beings, and the orbs that you are and that follow you everywhere do sometimes interfere with the technology. So don't be surprised if you are asked to file through the machinery one more time. You just say, oh, well, I'll have to tone down my light a little bit for a moment. It brings forth the laughter, but it is a truth of your being, because your light is so strong that truly it can interfere with the pictures that they are taking. So don't be surprised. But coming back to the healing that I spoke of, be aware that there is much going on that you do not feel aware of at this moment. Even as we walked among you, and when I say we, it is not just I, also my mother, also Mary of Magdala, also some of the other masters that you would identify as masters. We walk amongst you because we love and understand and recognize who you are and what you are and how close you are to coming into the realization that you are much more than the body, much more than the personality, much more than what the world has taught you to be, and much more than the employment. So sometimes you have abrupt changes in what seem to be the circumstances of life, and you wonder, why have I manifested this? You've all been at places in your life where you have wondered, why? Why have I done this? It is to bring you to a place, first, of recognizing that you have the power to make changes, and then to bring you to a place of freedom where you know that if I have created this, there must be a gift in it. And then to look to the future, which is quite bright, because you are being freed from all the old stuff that you have known in the past. You are being free to choose anew. You have that in some of the writings that I have written and has been scribed down in some of your writings, to choose anew, to look at everything in a different way, and to make new choice. Every morning when you awake, you have a chance to see yourself differently and to see your world differently and to envision how you want that day to be, just in general terms. Do not be too detailed about it, where you get to the point that evening where you say, well, I thought I was going to have a long talk with so-and-so, and he was going to put his arms around me and tell me how much he loves me, and that didn't happen. Well, on some level, it did happen. But it may not always be in the way you expect that it's going to be. But when you first awaken, have a general idea of how you want the day to go and how happy you are going to be in that day, because that is the truth of your being. You are going to be happy. That is what you have gifted yourself in this week away from the world. Freedom to choose anew. Freedom to be a new person. Even though you say, well, most of the people know me from another year or another time, and I guess I'm still the same person I was a year ago. Well, you're not. You have changed. They have changed. And their perception of you, even though you still project the same physical being, most of you anyway, even though you project a certain personality and you say that it hasn't changed much, you have changed, and they have changed. So they will recognize you truly by the heart, the love, the friendship that you give. And ones who say, well, I'm kind of new to this group, and they don't have much to go on from a year ago, they recognize you by your love, by the smile, by the hugs, by the openness and the willingness to be here and to be in love. And that is what it is all about. I speak to you in simple terms. I do not speak to you in big, ponderous words and big, ponderous concepts. You've had enough of that. You have that in bookshelves, books upon books upon books, recordings, videos, as you call them. And you can go to them anytime you want to. Or you can just be in a place of knowing love and simplicity. Because that is what all of the clues in the books are pointing to in the first place, is that place where you give yourself acknowledgement that I am the Divine One. And I know that separated ego doesn't want to accept that because it doesn't feel, to separated ego, that it can be true, that I am the Divine One. But you are. You are creating all of the circumstances. You are creating all of the friends. You are creating all of the vehicles that are out there, even the ones who have the red lights on top that ask you to pull over so that they can speak with you, or the ones who have the red lights on top and you have gotten the message ahead of time to slow down a bit till you get past them, and then you go on. I watch you, as I said on the last evening. I also drive your vehicles from time to time. And I am aware where ones need to slow down. Yes, you are welcome. And if you happen to be going faster than what they want you to and they ask you to pull over, you do so with a great smile on your face and an innocence of, well, officer, was I really going that fast? And quite often, you will still get the little piece of paper. But not always. You have within you an innate sense of how to come home. You have within you an innate sense of how home feels. You have within you the innate knowing of home and a remembrance of home, that ease of being, the ease of knowing that you are okay and that always you will be taken care of. I guarantee unto you, you will always be taken care of. You will never lack for what you need. Separated ego may get in there and jump up and down and say, well, it can't be true. The world is as the world is. But you have overcome the world. And you have overcome the fear that separated ego wants to give you. You can refuse that gift of fear. You have already been there with separated ego, with its message of fear, and you can refuse it. You are all powerful, and you don't have to accept it. Even if it runs back on stage and says, well, okay, you said no the first time, but you didn't really mean it, and here's this fear that you better watch out for, you can say no a million times over until finally separated ego says, well, let me read the script. Maybe I'm no longer in it. And separated ego is no longer in the script because you don't need it any longer. And you will thank it for being your companion for many lifetimes because it has been with you for many lifetimes. But you no longer need it. And you will thank it for being with you, for it has helped you get through what you thought were most fearsome circumstances. To be prepared ahead of time. That is one of its messages, that always you have to be prepared for the worst. Well, I say unto you, be prepared for the best, because the best is coming. The best is here. The best is now. Right now. Right where you sit. Right where the mind has become still. The yawn has come forth, and you have allowed the body to relax. The best is truly who and what you are. That is why I speak to you so often what seems to be familiar messages, words. Well, he's not telling me anything I didn't already know. Well, of course not. I cannot tell you anything that you do not already know, because you already know everything. Truly, it is deep within you. And you are the one who calls forth every experience so that you can see the gift in it, even if at first there doesn't seem to be a gift in it. Any time you bring forth the manure, it is to look for the gift and to grow with that manure. And even if it appears and separated ego says, look what you have done, it is for you to look past the judgment of the world, and to know that truly you are creating that reality. And if you are creating that reality, lowercase r, you can uncreate it, you can change it. And that is what you are doing this time, this week away. You are giving yourself the opportunity to see things anew. That is why I have been suggesting the excursions out into nature. That is why I have been suggesting that you take new understanding of how powerful you are. To be in a place of freedom. Freedom just to be. Even if you sit by the waterfall and you feel the energy of the waterfall and you say, well, I'm not doing anything. Separated ego will say, well, you should be doing something. You should take a picture. You should feel the water. You should. You should. You should. That's separated ego. But the beingness of you sits with the waterfall and says, I am that waterfall. I can sit at the top of that waterfall and look back at myself, watching the waterfall. I can feel the energy as it cascades over the precipice. I can feel the non-fear of cascading over the precipice, because the water doesn't worry about cascading over and what is going to happen to it on the way down and what is going to happen to it at the bottom. It just flows. And when you are at that place in your life, and you are fast approaching that place where you can just allow yourself to flow, no judgment, no worry, no fear, knowing that all is good and that you call forth always good, then you are as the inner nature suggests of the divinity of you. This week apart is a gift that you have given to yourself to be amongst others of like mind and of like questions, because you all came with your questions, and there may be some still remaining by the Friday evening that we will address, or they may all be answered because you will be knowing the power of divine self. But that is okay. When we get to Friday, we will see what remains, and we will see what yawns there may be. Because truly, the body asks of you freedom to breathe, freedom just to be. You keep it so bound up by have-tos that after a while it screams at you. So you begin by taking the deep breath many, many times, perhaps, to the place where you will say, well, I am hyperventilating. I am breathing so much. That is okay. You will not keel over from hyperventilating. The body knows how to regulate itself. And it also knows how to release tension. Otherwise, you would not be here. You would not have survived so many years to come to this place. You would have long time ago extinguished because you ran out of physical energy. But you know how, and the body knows how, to restructure itself and to regenerate what you call the healing. When I was amongst you in 2,000 years ago, I learned how to ride a camel. Now, riding a camel is not the easiest thing to do if you have not grown up with one, and I had not grown up with one until I was in the later teens, perhaps, approaching 20. Camels have to know who is the master. Otherwise, they will not be one with you. So you have to, at first, impose a certain will upon them that you are the master and you are the one who wants to work with them. But you don't have to do it in a way that is harmful to the camel. You do it through knowing that this is what I desire and this is how I desire to work with you. And if you get what is called the stubborn camel, and I did, then you will work with this one more and more until it understands your energy. And you have patience to allow the camel to know that you are willing to work with it, and no matter how long it takes, you are going to work with it. Same thing with the challenges that come to you, and they seem to be a stubborn camel. Ah! But you work with them, and you say, I'm not giving up until we reach that place of understanding. And when the camel, or anything else that you are trying to deal with, understands that you are not going to give up and walk away, then there is a meeting of the consciousness of oneness, and the camel will allow you to sit upon its back. Now, sitting upon the back of a camel is not the most comfortable. Many of you have the companions called the horses that you ride. And the horses are more attuned to size-wise for the human body than a camel is. And the camel has a certain gait to it that you have to, again, accommodate yourself to, because the camel is quite huge. And the front part moves at a different motion than the back part does. And if you are not in sync with it, you can very easily feel the muscles of the back going out of sync. So again, it is a process of oneness, a process of cooperation, and a process of moving forward together as the one. And it doesn't always happen on the first day. At least it didn't for me. At the time when I approached riding the camel, I was full grown, 6 feet tall, a little more than that, sturdy of build, strong enough, that I felt myself to be able to be master. But it was more than physical strength that was needed. There was a meeting of the mind that I have just spoken of, where the camel would understand that we are one and we are going to move forward as one, and I am not going to give up until we have this meeting of the wills to work together. The same as you will be with any challenge that you have in your life. You will be resolute about seeing it through. And when the other ones involved in whatever challenge you are working with understand that you know who you are and you will not give up until you have seen that you are receiving what you need and that you are one with everything that is happening, then there is movement for change. Then there is movement forward. Now, as I have said, riding a camel is a great experience. Once you have allowed the body to be in sync with the movement of the camel. And this doesn't happen on the first day or even the second day. There were several days of that first week when I got off of the camel and I needed what is called in your time a good massage and perhaps the adjuster to get things back into place, because some of it had gone forward and some of it had gone backward and forward and backward and forward. And there was a bit of healing that the body was calling out for. Getting the camel to stop is another challenge. Because, again, the camel feels itself to be master. It is bigger than the human. It is carrying the human. It has its own feeling of where it is going to go, to the nearest water hole. And if you want to stop before the water hole, it's not going to be happy about that. Although it carries a good bit of water with it and can go for days without water, always in its mind is the forward motion to the water hole. So you speak in your mind to the camel that, yes, we are going to find the water hole. It is our clear intention that we are going to the water hole. And if you don't get there on the first day, and quite often we didn't, or the second day, or the third day, you still keep in sync with the innate feeling of the camel. That, yes, this is where we're going. We are clear. We are together on this purpose. But it is time now to stop for the evening or whenever the leader of the, because you travel in what is called the caravan train of not just one camel, but many in my case. So you get to understand that you are not master of the camel, but you are master of your own intention and your own oneness with the mind, one mind. The same as when you are riding what are called the horses in this day. You have a oneness of mind that comes across, a love that is shared and is felt. It is the same with riding the camel and getting the camel to stop and not just stand there, but to bend down so that you can get off of it. That first few days, the camel got the message to stop because the other camels were stopping. But would it bend down and let me off? It had to consider whether it would or not. And my intention was to get down off of the camel. And the camel's intention was, do it yourself. And I will share with you that for the first two evenings, the camel did not bend down for me, and I had to reach over with the leg to sit on the camel a certain way and then to jump what you would see to be a far distance down to the ground. And when I got down to the ground, I went around to the face of the camel, and I brought myself close up to the face of the camel. And I did not speak words, but I spoke love. And I said, hey, we're in this together. Let's have some cooperation. And it did not work on the first night or the second night. So I had opportunity to self-judge. I mean, the other ones in the camel train, they were doing fine. This was my first experience. And they said to me, you're doing well with it. Don't worry about it. That's how we all started out. But many of them had started out in the caravan as the small ones. And they knew a oneness with the camels from the very beginning of their consciousness and their understanding of life force. So they were at a different place with it than I was, even though I had intention to be in love, to be one. It took a bit of working to get to that place. So that first week, I was sore. The body, at least. Not I, but the body was sore. It was like, why did I choose to go on this trip, this caravan? I knew where I wanted to be, and the caravan was going in that direction. And therefore, I was going to go with them, and it was a safe way to travel in that day and time. But I forgot one small thing, that I did not have the experience yet, how to ride a camel. I knew my oneness with a small bird that I spoke of, or that my father spoke of last evening, where I could take the small bird and, with intention and love, suggest to the bird that maybe it wanted to keep on living, and it would come alive again. I knew my oneness with the flowers, the plants, the grasses, the garden. I knew my oneness with the trees, with the flowing water. But then there was the camel. And all of you have come up against the camel. And sometimes it takes a bit of shift of perception and perseverance to get the one mind. So if at first you don't succeed, keep on trying, because truly you know with clear intention what you want, and you know that it will manifest. I kept that in my mind and heart, that there was clear intention of what I wanted. And I shared that with the camel, who also shared with me, oh yeah, who says? But there was a meeting of the minds that did happen, and there was a healing of the body that happened after the first week when I got into the rhythm of riding the camel. And there's a definite rhythm to everything that you do in life. And if you work against it, the body's gonna feel it. But if you work with the rhythm of life, it gets much easier. Maybe not at first. Certainly not at first for me. Because I will share with you, that first week, I was so sore. I wanted my mother to come and to give me a good rub down. Or whatever. Yes, I knew healing. So you would say, well, why didn't you heal yourself? Because I was in human mind as well as spiritual mind, because I had said, the same as you have said, I will have human experience. And if others can do it, and I saw others with their camels doing it, I thought, yes, I can do it too. Yeah, okay. So it took a bit of adjusting, but there was clear intention. There was clear love and one mind and perseverance. And it does get you to where you want to go. Keep in your mind the knowing of where you want to be, what you want to feel in the heart, the home that you want to feel, the peace that walks with you always, the love that you feel for everything that you see, all of your fellow travelers, all of nature, everything that you create. Know that feeling and bring it into the heart. And keep, as I have said, the clear intention foremost in your mind that I am going forward with this. I am whole. I am divine. I create only that which serves me. And you will ride your camel with ease. So be it.